Looking at the topic tonight of waiting on the Lord. Now, I don't know how many of you find it very easy to wait and that you actually even enjoy waiting. Most of us don't like to wait. The Lord has been trying to work patience in my life from the beginning. And I'm a lot more patient than I used to be, but I really have a long way to go. I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait for anything, especially when something's been decided. It's like, let's do it yesterday. Just let's go. One thing I really don't like waiting for is just a little pet peeve of mine is late people. And I'm not saying that for anybody who came in late tonight. I'm not talking about that. But it's like when you are supposed to go somewhere and you're waiting on a late person. And we probably have all read that bumper sticker, always late but worth the wait. I do not think so. Sorry. And then someone said that those who are late always seem to be much more jolly than those who are waiting for them. Yes, the late people seem to be oblivious to their lateness. They don't realize the stress they put on the others. We use that word wait in so many different ways. I don't know if you've thought about it. If you had a chance to do your homework and really look up the word wait. You know, there's so many words in the English language that we use all the time, every day. And we've never stopped to think about exactly what they mean. But here's a few ways that we use the word wait. It can mean that you do nothing expecting something to happen. Or you stay in one place. Or you do nothing for a period of time like, well, I'll wait for you here until noon. So you're doing nothing. You're just waiting for that person who needs to be there by noon. Or it's stop so somebody can catch up. Or you slow down in order to allow somebody to catch up. Or it's, you know, wait for me, slow down, wait for me. Or it is you're hoping for something or on the lookout for something. You're waiting for something. She's waiting for a marriage proposal or she's waiting for a job opportunity. It can also mean to be ready or available for somebody to take or to use, or maybe like your mail, it's waiting for you, so it's available. You're waiting for the mail, and now it's waiting for you. Or it can mean to delay something because somebody is expected to arrive. Okay, well, since you're going to come at that time, we'll wait and have dinner at that time. It can be a period of time spent waiting while expecting something to happen, and sometimes the wait just seems to go on forever. So there's lots of different ways that we use the word wait. Now, most of the time, the biblical wait, and if you have your Bible, would you just turn to the book of Psalms? We're going to be looking at a few of the Psalms. I think the first one is 130, so you can turn there. But the biblical wait, most of the time when it's used in Scripture, it implies to hope strongly, to trust, implying firmness and constancy of mind, to hope for, to wait for, to expect anything, to hope that a thing will be effected, and to wait steadily and patiently till it is affected. So that puts a lot of weight on the word wait. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. So now when we read that, my soul waits for the Lord. My soul waits. It means to hope strongly, to trust. It's waiting steadily and patiently till that thing that it's waiting for is it's affected. It happens. Psalm 62:1. Flip over there. And sometimes it's a lot of flipping in the Bible, but it's just good to see the word for ourselves. 62:1. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. And then verse 5 and 62. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. So again, it's that hope. It's that steadfast waiting and looking and patiently waiting. Psalm 27:14. One of my favorite waiting verses. 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's an exhortation and a command to us, for us to wait on the Lord, to hope in the Lord, to trust, to have faith in. You know, the hope, the trust, the faith, they all go hand in hand. It's those words can be interchanged, and it's a confident expectation in our God, of him, of what he will do. Now, there's some great examples in the Bible of those who had to wait, and we can learn from their lives. So we'll just look at three tonight. The first one is Abraham. Now, if you're familiar with Abraham and his life in the book of Genesis, God called Abraham out of his country, and he gave him a promise, and he told Abraham that he would make of him a great nation. And not only would he make a great nation of him, but that all the nations, all the families of the world would be blessed because of it. And God was speaking of bringing the Messiah through Abraham. Now, Abraham waited on the Lord for that promise. He waited 25 years to just see the beginning of that promise by giving him a son, because he had no heir. God had promised him a son, and 25 years of waiting, of hoping, of trusting, of patiently waiting, of expecting God to do what he had promised to do. And 25 years, and then you finally have a son. You're 100 years old and you have a son, and God has made this promise of a great nation. Abraham would never see that. He would never see that. Now, if you flip to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11, verse 8, says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. But by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He dwelt in this promised land that was not his. It was promised. He didn't have it yet. It was promised. But he waited. He waited as he dwelt there. He waited and he waited. In verse 10, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He had put his trust in the Lord. He believed his promise. So for 25 years and beyond that, he's waiting because he's looking ahead at what God had promised, and he's looking to a better city, a heavenly home. But he lived a life of faith and trust while he waited. Joseph is a wonderful example too of waiting. Now, when Joseph was a young teen, the Lord had given him two prophetic dreams. He didn't understand them. He didn't know. What do they mean? What is this all about? He did not understand. But he had this anticipation in his heart that whatever it is going to be good. It's going to be good. So here you have this young man who has these dreams, these promises from the Lord, and there's going to be an excitement about that. But his excitement turned to disaster because of his brother's jealousy. And his brothers then sold Joseph to those slave traders and took him down into Egypt. Can you imagine how confused this, you have this promise and this, you're so confused. And here you are in Egypt. But then things started looking better for him because Joseph was then given the position to be in command of Potiphar's household. And he was a very prominent man in the government there. And so now it looked better. And he waited. And as he waited, we know from his life that his life was upright. It was a holy life. He was a man of integrity. And so we know he was waiting on the Lord. Why would you live a holy life if you didn't believe and have faith and trust in the Lord? And he did. And so he had success. He had greatness. But then all of a sudden it turned to disaster again because Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of seducing her, and Joseph was thrown in prison. So now here he is in the pit. And where's these promises? And he's still waiting. And he waited at least 2 full years, probably longer, in that prison until he was given the opportunity then to come out of the prison and go interpret a dream for Pharaoh. And then it looked great that here now he was given this new position, even a better position, second to Pharaoh only in the land. Incredible. But he's still waiting. He doesn't know what these promises mean. And this is not what he would have chosen. He waited 13 years in Egypt and then 9 more years before he saw his brothers. That's a long time to wait. And that after that, when his brothers came, they bowed before him. That dream that God had given him, that the stalks of wheat would bow down to Joseph. Here it's becoming fulfilled. Now he doesn't understand it. Why? It's not about my brothers bowing to me. There's got to be a bigger picture here. Joseph waited about 22 years before he got to see God's promise, before he could make any sense of this trial, these trials, these circumstances, this very hard life that he had, very confusing time that he had. But while he waited, he hoped in the Lord. He trusted him. He could see his hand. That's why at the end he said, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good. I see it clearly now. I came here to preserve your life and the life of that nation that God had promised our father Abraham." But all that time, waiting and waiting and waiting. David, our last example here, incredible about waiting on the Lord. He was called and anointed to be king over Israel again at a very young age. And he had to wait. He waited 10 years. Before he was anointed king over Judah, not over all of Israel, but over Judah. 10 years. If you're with us on Sunday night, we've been going through the books of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and learning about the life of David. And it was 10 very, very hard, hard years. He was a hunted man. Running for your life for 10 years, not having a home, you're living in caves, you're hungry, you have no home, you have the clothes on your back, and somebody is pursuing you. Very hard, very long years, nothing but trials, waiting, 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 waiting. 10 years, he was made king over Judah, but he had to wait another 7 years to then become king over all Israel, as the Lord had called him and had he had been anointed so many years before. And while David waited, he hoped in his God. And there is no doubt that he hoped in his God, because all those psalms came from David and from his time of trial. He wrote Psalm 27 at that time. 37 too, we'll get to that in a minute. 27 at that time. We just read, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And again, that wait isn't that David folded his arms and he just sat there for 17 years and waited for that promise. No, it's the hoping. It's the trusting. It's the having faith. It's putting my expectation in the Lord. It's being patient and knowing that God will bring his word, his promise to pass. He knew about waiting on the Lord and being of good courage and God strengthening his heart. He also wrote Psalm 37 at that time. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. When you look around and there's nothing else to feed on, you can feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That is coming from a man who truly waited on the Lord and saw his promises fulfilled. And he wrote most of these in the midst of the trial, when he hadn't gotten over yet, when he hadn't seen the end yet. He wrote Psalm 62 that we read, "Truly my soul silently waits for God," because sometimes when it just seems so hopeless and there's mockers all around, it's within our soul. We're waiting silently. We're hoping for the Lord. From him comes my salvation. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. So what do we do while we're waiting? And I know that we're all waiting. We're all waiting on the Lord. He's given you promises. He's given you a whole book of promises. But he's given you promises personally. You know what he has spoken to your heart. He knows your needs. And he knows what you are waiting for. So what do we do then while we wait for the Lord to fulfill his promise and to do that work? Well, I'll tell you one thing that we're not supposed to do, and we can look at Abraham for that as an example, and that is to take matters into our own hands. And that's exactly what he did and what Sarah did. And you know, women have a terrible tendency to take matters into their own hands, because when we don't see things happening the way that we think they should happen, we just start getting in that mode and we're going to make it happen. We are really good manipulators. Sarah was a good manipulator, and she's the one that suggested that Abraham go into Hagar and maybe the child's not supposed to come from me. Oh, yeah, that's it. Don't you think God would have let them know that? But, you know, and he went along with it and went right in there, and then there's been a mess ever since. So don't take matters into your own hands. So many scriptures tell us to wait patiently for the Lord. And he's working that patience in our lives while we're waiting. But what are we to do while we wait? Well, we're to believe. We're to believe his promises. And again, you have an entire book of his promises. And we need to believe every single one. And then those promises that he has spoken to you through his word or in other ways, to believe that he will bring it to pass. Abraham waited 25 years to see it begin. And Joseph, 22 years. And did I get that right? And then David, his 20 years. And that's math, so I might have got all that wrong. But a long time waiting. Don't give up. Believe that God will be faithful. Believe what he has spoken to you. That's waiting on the Lord. It's believing. It's like, yes, Lord, your promises are yea and amen. They are true, and you are faithful, and you are true. And then we need to trust, to have faith in the Lord. Trust that he knows best. Abraham, Joseph, David, so many others, you look at their lives and you could know and understand why they would think he doesn't know what he's doing. Because we think if he knows what he's doing, he's going to do it right now. He's going to take care of everything right now because he wants me to be happy. And that's not, he's more concerned with other things, building that character in our lives. But to trust that he knows best, that his ways are not our ways. They are so much better. So much better. And to believe, to trust, to have faith that he will care for you. He will provide and he will meet the needs that you have. He provided for David and 600 men plus women for all those years out in the wilderness. He took care of their needs. He took care of Joseph in that prison. He will be faithful to his word, and we must trust and have faith in him. That's waiting on the Lord. That is waiting on him. We wait on the Lord our entire lives, because our entire lives are filled with our hope and our trust and our faith in the Lord. The third thing we are to do is to abide. Abide in the Lord. Just as Abraham and Joseph and David, they abided in the Lord. Waiting on the Lord, and this is one of those definitions I read earlier, it is not being passive. It is not doing anything. You know, sometimes people think, well, I'm just going to wait on the Lord. You know, again, that you don't just stand and, you know, fold your arms. David did not. Joseph did not. Abraham did not. And just say, well, God promised, so I'm not going to do anything because he's going to bring it to pass. That's not waiting on the Lord. It's not passive. It is active. It is doing, as Elizabeth Elliot says, it is doing the next thing. It is occupying while you wait, as Jesus told us. While you wait for me, occupy until I come. Do business till I come. Do what I've called you to do until I come. You're waiting on me. Be busy about my business while you are waiting. Now, Abraham, he seemed to have a very, very relaxed life back then in the tent. Not a whole lot is recorded about what was going on. It's not like with Joseph and David with wars and, you know, prison and that kind of a thing. But Abraham abided in the Lord, and he grew in his relationship with the Lord. Joseph, talk about not just sitting idle. He worked hard. He did the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and he did it to the very best of his ability. That was his ministry. He didn't look at it as, well, this is just all secular. Second to Pharaoh in a very pagan culture, that was his ministry. He did his best. He abided in the Lord. We know by his life, one of the integrity, again, that he is abiding in the Lord as he's waiting on him. He's busy doing. David was very active, running for his life, protecting others. But he wasn't just idle. It's not like we're going to sit on the bus stop and wait for the bus. God gave me a promise and I'm going to sit and I'm going to wait. That's not waiting on the Lord. It is growing in our relationship with him. It's abiding in him. Growing. And we need every aspect of a Christian life to grow. We can't just go in a corner and just forsake fellowship, forsake service. I'm just going to study. So I'm going to have all of this knowledge, and it's just, and I need to be a channel and not a reservoir. I need to be active. I need to be growing in my walk with the Lord. While I'm waiting for a husband, while I'm waiting for a job, while I'm waiting for a location change, whatever, what are you waiting for? Waiting for this husband to get saved, waiting for these children to turn around, waiting for something. We're all waiting for something, probably more than one thing, as we're waiting on the Lord. Let's abide in him. Let's grow in him. Let's use that time in a very productive and an active way. Serving him and giving our lives away, being busy about his business. So what is God doing while we are waiting patiently, while we're waiting patiently? I love this verse in Isaiah. It's one of my favorites, Isaiah 64:4. Because sometimes in our waiting, like with Abraham and Sarah, well, God isn't working. He's not doing anything. We have to take matters into our own hands. They're getting impatient. But God, he's never late. Isaiah 64:4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him. God acts for the one who waits for him. That means God is active. God is working. He's working while we are waiting. We think we have the hard part of waiting. He is actively working in our lives, refining us, making us more like him. He is further preparing something for us. He's getting all the circumstances ready up there that we don't even know about. But he can't fulfill that promise now because it's not going to match. All the pieces of the puzzle aren't together. So he is orchestrating the world. I mean, everybody. It is amazing what he keeps track of and what he does. And all of these little situations and here and there. And no, she's got to go left. So how am I going to get her to go left? Because she's determined to go right. So I got to move this thing and this thing and this person and this, the person has got to intervene. You know, the whole thing. He is working. He's working because he has something prepared. He's preparing something for us. And then he's working in us, preparing us, so we can handle the fulfillment of the promise. That prison that Joseph was in, it was a needed part of his life. And it was a stepping stone that God used to then ultimately put him in the right place for when the famine hit and when his brothers would come and they needed food so that he could preserve that family that would become a great nation. But that prison was needed in Joseph's life. And we know from David, from learning about him, he needed all that refining. And as Damien has said, he's removing the Saul that was within David so that he could become a king after God's own heart. So God is not only preparing what he has for us, but he's preparing us in the meantime. So he is working while we are waiting, preparing circumstances, lining everything up for us, refining us, getting us ready. Another favorite scripture on waiting, Isaiah 30, verse 18. Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all those who wait for him. The Lord will wait. Why? Why is God taking so long to answer this prayer of mine, this promise that he's given me? Why? So that he might be gracious to you. He gives more grace. Don't you want it all that he has? And while he waits, as he's preparing and working, we are going to be, think we'll be satisfied with a little thimble full of his grace when he has the oceans full. And he knows that. So he waits. Oh yeah, you're going through a hard time, and he's merciful, and he's long-suffering toward us, and he doesn't like to see the pain and the suffering, but he knows what's at the end, and it's worth it. He'll wait. He gives more grace. It takes time for God to work, for the circumstances, for the people, for our hearts. And I think there's just so much of us in us that it takes him. He couldn't do it all at once. We would be devastated. We're devastated anyway sometimes. And he's thinking, I'm only doing this. You got this much more to go, but he doesn't tell us that at the moment. But it takes time. So we wait. We wait on him. We hope strongly in him. We trust in him. And that implies firmness and constancy of mind. To expect, to hope for that thing that will be affected, to wait steadily and patiently until it is. And he gives us that wonderful promise that we are all so familiar with, but we're going to turn there and read it, Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to read it like God is speaking to us. Like it is the first time we've read it, and it's the best thing in the whole world. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How many of you have experienced the power and the promise of that verse? Amen. When we wait on Him, when we believe in Him and we put our trust and our faith and we abide in Him and we are actively pursuing Him and His kingdom, as we wait on Him, it is amazing. I mean, He physically touches a weak and weary body. And that spirit within us, it just strengthens our physical body and strengthens our spirit and allows us to stand up stronger and put our head up high and look to the Lord and have boldness and have confidence in the Lord. That is what happens when we wait on Him, when we trust in Him. When we have faith in Him, when we believe in Him, He then fills our lives and empowers us and strengthens us. So don't give up tonight. If you've been waiting for a promise for 25 years, for 35 years, for 50 years, for however long it's been, one day, however long, stand firm in this promise. Wait on the Lord. Put your hope, your trust, your confident expectation in Him. Be busy about His business and He will strengthen your life. God is never, ever late, and He is the only one that is worth the wait. Father, thank You for Your promises. And thank You for these men and so many others who are examples to us, how they have waited on You and that they didn't waver at the promise. And though they got tired, Lord, their strength was renewed as they put their trust in You. Thank You for all of those psalms that were born from David's trials and the things that You did in his life, and how he can be bold to tell us to wait on You and to be of good courage because You will strengthen our hearts. Thank You for every single one of those promises. Thank You, Lord, for the power of Your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, for my sisters and any of those who are discouraged, who are growing weary while doing good, who are being impatient and getting ready to take things into their own hands. Lord, would You have their attention and speak to their hearts and work in them, encourage them, Lord. Help them to trust You. Help each one of us, Lord, to continue to trust, to grow in our faith, to abide in You, to be busy about Your business. And thank You for renewing our strength. And thank You, Lord, for fulfilling Your word and being so faithful in our lives. And Father, we ask that now as we have the opportunity to go into groups and to just reflect more on this and to talk about how You have done these great things in our lives and to encourage one another, Lord, would You pour Your Spirit out on the women and use them in each other's lives to be an encouragement. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.